So here we are, kicking into a whole new season, whole new series. And we're going to take a few weeks and really just dive into the book of Galatians. Why Galatians? Well, it's one of Paul's probably most heated deliverances of what are the essentials of our faith. You know, we're in a time where all sorts of things are negotiable, all sorts of things are being looked at and wrestled with and reasoned with, and it's such a great time to engage this letter. It's one of Paul's shortest, but also one of his strongest. And I hope during this season that you will engage the small group study with N.T. Wright. He is one of the foremost theologians of our day, and I really would invite you, whether you do it in a group or do it in your own time, in your own space, that you would follow the directions on how to do it and you would begin to connect. You know, it's Paul sort of unleashed. It's Paul sort of giving this passionate imploring to these believers in Galatia, going, man, what has happened that everything I taught you and everything I told you, you've kind of abandoned it so quickly? There's two passages we're going to look at. One in Galatians chapter 1, and then we're going to flip to Galatians chapter 6. And then that sort of bookends what Paul's saying, and I'll try and encapsulate that. But here's Galatians chapter 1.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised him from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. May God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again that we have said it before. If anyone preaches any other good news other than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant.
You know, those words that Paul says at the beginning is basically this: hey, I don't need anyone else's authority to declare this gospel message. I have the authority of Christ. Christ who lived, Christ who died, Christ who was raised to new life again. No one else taught me what to say. No one else told me what to say. Paul says, I got it right from Christ himself. That's a pretty good endorsement of what he has to say. But the next part, I just want you to hear it again, because he uses these incredible words. He says, man, I am astonished that you are abandoning or deserting that which you heard, that you're turning to a different gospel that is no gospel at all. And you're listening to these who are throwing you into confusion. You hear these words? Paul is so strong on it. It's confusion. It's not the truth. It's this unsettling. And unless we are truly anchored into that which we believe, we're going to be all over the place. Unless we really take hold of the foundational truths, we're going to be adrift, and I'll come to that. But listen again to what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, that closes this letter. He re-emphasizes these very truths, that all these religious practices, all of these additional things mean nothing. Here's Galatians 6.
Today's reading is from Galatians 6, 14 to 18. For my part, I'm going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master, Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, I have been crucified in relation to the world, set free from the stifling atmosphere of pleasing others and fitting into the little patterns that they dictate. Can't you see the central issue in all this? It is not what you and I do, submit to circumcision, reject circumcision. It is what God is doing. And he is creating something totally new, a free life. All who walk by this standard are the true Israel of God, his chosen people. Peace and mercy on them. Quite frankly, I don't want to be bothered anymore by these disputes. I have far more important things to do, the serious living of this faith. I bear in my body scars from my service to Jesus. May what our Master, Jesus Christ, gives freely be deeply and personally yours, O friends. Oh, yes.
I love what Paul says at the end of that, because I've got nothing to boast about. I've got nothing to boast about in my practices or what's been done in my flesh. All I boast in is Christ and Christ crucified. That's the hope. You see, the gospel of Jesus is about assurance. Assurance that he has given us. It's not about what I can accomplish myself. You see, those who are coming in and unsettling these new believers were those who wanted to give them a confidence in what they could do. You see, circumcision was an act in the flesh, and it was a covenant that was given to Abraham and his children centuries, millennia before. And what happened in that was there was a physical mark on the human form that said, hey, I am set apart unto God. But in Christ, it's not just this physical action, it's an action of our heart. And God, we hear it in different places, he doesn't just look at the outside. He looks at what's on the inside. And so it's this assurance in our faith in Christ that he has done the work. He's accomplished everything that needs to be accomplished, and there's nothing to be added to that. You know, there's a time that the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, hey, you know what? Man, we're the sons of Abraham. We're the children of God through Abraham. And Jesus just goes, hey, you know what? That means nothing. God could raise up children for Abraham out of the very dirt that you're standing on, out of the very rocks that are there. It's not being children of Abraham by descent or by circumcision. It's a surrender of our heart. It's an internal work that we are adopted into the family of God through Christ. It's an act of faith. You know, there is this incredible thing in this legacy of faith that if we really look at the things that God has done through people, through that change of life, through that change of heart, like he did in Paul, like he's done in me, he says, look, it's in other places, it's no longer I that live, but now Christ within me. You know, if we looked through that history, that legacy, through the lives that have gone ahead of us, we would find that there is this sure foundation that we see grabbed onto again and again and again. I love this song that Craig wrote that just says, if these walls could speak. You know, that faith, it's an anchor to my soul. But it has this line, it would tell me seasons change, but not my Lord. And I ask you, as we go into this, what do you know as your anchor? And I'm going to come back and speak to that in just a moment, but lean into these words.
If these walls could speak and I could hear their words, they'd remind me seasons change, but not my Lord. They would tell me of your goodness even in my times of pain. And you are worthy of my praise again. You are worthy. Thank you. merciful to see, with hope that is the anchor of my soul. So with the rise and the setting of the sun, I will remember all you've done. 'Cause if these walls could speak and I could hear their words, they'd remind me seasons change but not my Lord. Tell me of your goodness even in my times of pain, and you are worthy of my praise again. Your glory not contained, the universe declares your majesty. So let your praise be always on my lips, to sing of your faithfulness. 'Cause if these walls could speak, I could hear their words, well, they'd remind me seasons change but not my Lord. And they would tell me of your goodness even in my times of pain, and you are worthy of my praise again. Oh, I will sing that you are. That you are holy, Lord. Oh, I will sing that you are holy, Lord. And you are worthy of my praise again. Oh, I will sing that you are holy. So worthy of my praise again.
You know, those words of security and assurance. What is the anchor of my soul? You see, without an anchor, we are adrift on a cultural tide. What says what's right? What's wrong? Who makes the decisions for us? You know, what I love is what Paul attaches himself to when he says, this is the gospel. This is the good news. The good news is Jesus alone. It's not what I can do. It's not my own righteousness by my behaviors or my adherence to religious nor moral code. This whole idea of being marked in my body, set apart in an old covenant, no longer has any relevance to us. It's by Christ alone, his life, his death, his resurrection. It's Paul who also writes to the Corinthians, and he says this, there is no other foundation that can be laid except that laid, which is Jesus Christ. Essentially, what he's saying is there is no other anchor point. There's nowhere else that we can begin to build from. There's nowhere else that we can hold fast to. except Jesus. And so I really do want you to take on this study with us in this time, to really allow it to ask questions of you, as I'm going to allow it to ask questions of me. What is my hope? What is my assurance when everything is adrift? What holds me fast? You see, a cultural tide is a very swift moving thing. And I just hope that we don't find that one day we are dragged so far astray because we let go of the very thing that mattered. Paul says there are other so-called gospels, but they are no gospel at all. There's no hope, there's no assurance, and there's no liberty. So lean in, engage this letter with us, but take a hold of hope and assurance in Christ. Amen. Put your anchor down.